good day, everyone, at Golf WRX and Wisdom in Golf Land.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, today, we have so many questions pouring in today from our premium site, our YouTube, our Instagram, and we've got a nice selection here of questions that we feel would really benefit you guys listening. So we're just going to shoot straight from the hip. What do you think, Sav?
Do a little Q&A session.
You want to do ladies first?
Sure. So I'll take a couple of questions that I've gotten frequently on my Instagram.
Good. And that you know, as you're listening, you're thinking, hey, I got a question. Well, shoot it out to Sav on the Instagram or to myself. Yeah. And then we'll be more than happy to talk about it in the next podcast.
So the first question, I guess, is like a combo question I get a lot on my Instagram is my forward shaft lean at address. And the little move that I do when I at address, I kind of slightly bring my hands up into a single plane. And
do you realize you do it?
No, it's right. And that's the thing. So that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I get that question so often. And I just don't really know how to answer it because it's something that I don't even realize I'm doing.
Right.
So I guess those two to start.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm the coach. I'm supposed to have these answers, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, for many a player out there, it's important that they don't get bogged down with all that information so that they're not thinking about, you know, pasting these body parts together, which we really are terrible at.
Yeah.
If you look at Nancy Lopez, who is Hall of Fame galore, you have exactly the same initial move in the backswing. And it is a timing mechanism that, you know, the brain is seeking the path of least resistance. And so you're feeling nice and comfortable at address. You're getting ready to deliver an action to your target. And the brain is using that pathway to get you to where you need to be to deliver that throwing action in the direction that you want to start the ball.
Yeah.
So it's very, very difficult to start from a static position.
Yeah.
And it's just the brain's way of oscillating. And so that there's a little bit of a movement pattern to, initialize the backswing.
Yeah.
And these movement patterns are very circular.
Yeah.
Right? So the hands are going up a little bit, but three-dimensionally, they're probably making a little circle somewhere. So if you look at, you know, this morning I had this fabulous lesson with one of my students from New York City. And by the way, if you're looking for some one-on-one coaching every week, you really want to make a big dent in your handicap, let me follow you every week like a tour player. You know, we get together once a week. We're twice a week with this particular gentleman, Mondays and Fridays, but at least once a week for a half an hour one-on-one.
Yeah.
And the rest of the week, you're performing, you're practicing, and you send a couple of clips in. You text them to me. You get to have me on text on speed dial, basically. You say, hey, man, I had a great session. This is what I felt. Or I had a really crappy session. What am I doing?
Yeah.
And I can tell you right away, and then, you know, a couple of texts back and forth, and you're back in, you know, you're back in action.
Yeah.
And you're not wasting time. You're not chasing your tail. So that's been extremely beneficial. Now, this particular student, and I just did a video on that we're going to be posting on Tuesday, today, right? So we are today, Tuesday.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's how to start the backswing. And another way of doing it is imagine you are a crane and a wrecking ball. And your crane operator up here in your skull needs to use the weight of the wrecking ball to plaster the ball and compress the ball in the direction of the target.
Yeah.
So you're going to rock a little forward before moving back.
Yeah.
So your forward press means that you're already in your forward motion.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you look at Bryson DeChambeau, okay, watch his first move now, Sav. He stands straight up.
Right.
His hands go up.
Yeah.
What do your hands do?
Same thing.
So you're getting ready to come up into your backswing. That's your up.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And your brain knows this. Why? Because you're a perfect human piston. Mm-hmm. We're designed for up and down. Mm-hmm. We're designed for circles. When you're walking, you're moving up and down. Your arms are making beautiful swinging actions. You're making beautiful circles.
Yeah.
So there it is, you know, in a nutshell, yep. How your brain is seeking the path of least resistance because it's a self-preserving mechanism, right? Mm-hmm. And it's looking for the most efficient action possible to deliver your action to the target. So it just means you're a seasoned player.
Okay, so I guess the next one would be one that I got last night, actually. I posted a reel on my Instagram of a swing with a square stance versus a swing with an open stance.
Oh, right on. You never told me about that one.
Yeah, so I took a clip from the beginning of the season where I had a more of a square stance and yep. then one from later on the season where I kind of went more with an open stance. And a gentleman asked, do you still swing left of your intermediate point on the open face fade? I've been working on this myself, and while the open stance is comfortable, I'm having trouble overdoing the fade when I swing to the left of my intermediate point.
Okay. A, if you're a left-handed player, you want to be swinging to the left of the intermediate point for draw.
Yes.
You want to be swinging to the right of the intermediate point for a fade. So in other words, if the intermediate point is basically your line to your target. Mm-hmm. If you're hitting a fade, you want to start it to the right of the target and fade it back to the target.
Yeah.
If that gentleman is left-handed, you don't want to be swinging left for a fade. Then you'd be hitting big push fades or block fades.
Yeah.
So if he's a right-handed individual and he's swinging to the left to make a fade, that's good. Mm-hmm. If the ball is starting too far right and ending up to the right, then the face is too open. So the face of the golf club is responsible for some of the initial direction. Mm-hmm. The more loft you have, the less it is responsible for initial direction. The less loft you have, so if you're hitting driver and you're hitting a big push fade, if you're a right-handed player, your club face is way too open. Mm. So I actually have some students that close the face more on a fade than a draw.
Kind of like me.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's where you get the power fade.
Yeah.
So the way that you would do it is you line up, if you're a right-handed player, you're lining up your intermediate point with the target. Mm-hmm. You're aiming a little left of the intermediate point. Swinging to the left of the intermediate point. So you want to see the blur of your club staying left of the intermediate point. Mm-hmm. You're playing the ball a hair forward of center. And when you deliver, the ball has to start a little left and fade back to your target.
Yeah.
So if it starts left and doesn't come back, and that's your pattern, the face is a little too closed. Mm-hmm. If it starts left and fades back to your target, it's all good, right? Press save and print. And if it starts straight and fades, well, A, are you staying to the left of the intermediate point? If you are, then your face is too open.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good. I'll find a couple more on here, but in the meantime, you can go to one of your questions.
I just had an email come in from a longtime student of mine, and the question is, having some success practicing with the one leg drill. That is such a good drill.
Yeah, I like that one too.
It may seem like a strange question, but it feels like my left shoulder moves down slightly as I swing to complete the drill. I have read that the left shoulder should remain level, but that doesn't feel right. Am I correct? Mm. Okay. Well, you remember the old adage of feel is not necessarily real. Your perception of what's going on with your body parts is consistently far from the truth. Mm-hmm. So what is the best way to go about this? Well, A, if you did some perpetual motion, if you swing back and through without stopping, and you're cutting the grass in both directions and you're swinging on one leg in perpetual motion, A, the brain's going to find a way to make a turn in balance. Otherwise, you're going to fall over.
Yep.
And it's over. So as you're swinging back and through without stopping and cutting the grass in the direction that you want the ball to start, put yourself on video and observe what your left shoulder's doing without thinking about it.
Right.
All you want to do is just cut grass in the direction of the target without stopping. And you know, another way of doing it, we have another drill that we love to do, is the super slow, super balanced, super relaxed backswing. So you make a very slow backswing while staying on one leg. And actually, that's a really good idea. We should do that on feet together and on one leg.
Yep.
So appreciate that, Gary. That brought me to my next video that I need to do for you guys. So as you do a very slow backswing on one leg, if you feel that your weight is going to your toes, you're dipping the shoulder too much, quote unquote, right? Because a lot of people are trying to you know, turn the shoulder under the head, and they don't realize when they're doing that, they throw themselves completely off balance. And when they try to keep the shoulder level, well, they're throwing themselves back and off balance. Well, if you can stay relaxed and make a full backswing while staying relaxed on one leg, and at the top of the backswing, you feel like you're going to be able to throw the club in the direction that you want to start the ball easily, then your shoulder's in the right place.
Yeah.
So that's how we go about eliminating the body part bonanza, right?
Yeah.
Which is so detrimental to your progress in this game.
Yeah.
So.
Good. I like that one.
What you got next, Sav?
One that I think, it's not so much about the swing, but in terms of temperature. So in cold weather, how much you should estimate to your distances. So like how much more club would you need depending, like a half club, a full club, that kind of thing.
So just as a proper temperature, it takes 77 degrees Fahrenheit to get the most out of your golf ball. Anything below that, you start losing a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? And then a little bit above that, you're going to, you know, it'll compress nicely. What gives you some really nice distance when it's hot. You ever notice when it's hot, you look outside and you can see this, you can see the heat coming off the grass.
Yeah.
So that heat is obviously going to elevate the ball, keep it in the air longer.
Yeah.
So when it's hot, the ball air ends up staying longer. But when it's cold and damp.
Yeah.
It's a low pressure system and that knocks the ball down. So not only, you know, if it's cold and rainy,
that's even worse.
Yeah, that's it. So you can count on a couple of clubs less in distance when that happens.
Yeah.
And you know, it's while you're doing your particular warm up and you're going for those targets that you normally hit. I remember a student when I was back in Richmond Hill, and it was like a 3-club win in the face. And I, you know, I show up for work, and my student is already hitting balls before he goes to work, and he's just wailing at it, right? Just swinging out of his shoes, and I'm going, oh my God, Hugo, what are you doing? And he says, well, my ball's not going anywhere. I said, okay, normally you've seen me hit your 7-iron, which is a graphite shafted 7-iron, to that 200-yard marker over there. And, you know, it's that yellow flag in the distance. So I just smoke his 7-iron, and it lands at the white flag at 150. He says, that's 50 yards less than what you normally do. I said, yeah, because it's a 3-club wind staring right in our foreheads, buddy. It's just not going to happen today. So that, like, you should have seen the relief on his face after that, right?
Just like, oh, I'm not going.
I'm not hitting my targets.
Yeah.
You know, what? You know, if you're hitting your set, normally hit your 7-iron 150, it's going to be going 110. You know, on a 3-club wind.
Because you have, you know, with golf, yes, you have your stock distances.
Yeah.
But when you're playing outside, you know, you run into a lot of. What just happened? I think it's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was, the dog was yanking on the cable there.
Sorry. You, like when you're out in the elements, there's so many more things that play into club selection and all that kind of stuff. So, okay, that's a good one. And then this one here. Do you have any good drills for adding the squat effectively? I tried adding and couldn't find the face. I need more speed.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. So, love that one.
Mm-hmm.
Bryson, ever since he's been going after this this speed, check the levels there, Sav. I think we lost a couple of levels. There you go. So since Bryson has been going for some speed, you can see him really going up and down like crazy. You watch the latest videos that he's been posting on Instagram. Like, he just stands straight up in the backswing. He's got that, there's a basketball net in the background. And his head goes from the bottom of the basketball net to the top of it. Mm. And, you know, that's what people have observed in your swing too, right, Moo? Because, I mean, when you're starting your swing, your tendency is to come up in the backswing, and that's what we want.
Right.
And so the human machine is already designed to do that. So what I tell my students is, don't try to stay down, you know, because so many of you are trying to keep your head down. You're trying to keep the same levels. You're thinking, oh, my God, if I go up and down, my contact's going to be all over the place. Like this particular gentleman's thinking his contact is hinging on his inconsistency with this.
Right.
It's not about that at all.
Yeah.
It's about you're going to deliver an action to the target.
Yep.
And when you do, you're going to be extending exactly at the right time.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you had a kettlebell, let's say you go to the gym. And, you know, you hold the kettlebell like you're going to do an Atlas swing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you want to heave the kettlebell through the wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus you're going to throw the kettlebell into the ground, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you're looking at the ball and you're going, okay, I got to come up, then I got to come down, then I got to hit the ball. Ooh, that's not going to be good. You're going to bury that thing like a hatchet into the ground.
Yeah.
So what's important is you have a very specific direction that you're going to send the ball to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be, let's say, so the throwing of the club is a very important video for him to watch.
Yeah.
And so you're going to use that up and down to throw the club.
Yeah.
So you start with some kettlebells or some 4-pound hammers around the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And you start heaving the 4-pound hammer about 20 yards in the backyard. And then you realize your extension of your legs happens at a very specific time.
Mm-hmm.
So then you do the golf club there, and you know when you're swinging a baseball bat. And remember, you know, Moo, you're not a baseball player, but when you do that drill for us on the videos, and you swing that baseball bat, you realize that the baseball bat is releasing your anatomy into the field,
right?
Not where you're contacting the baseball. So the ball comes off the bat and then the release occurs because you're releasing the ball into the direction that you want that ball to go.
Yeah.
So that means that the extension, when you look at a ball hitter, you'll notice that the legs extend at the point where they're sending that ball out into the field.
Yeah.
They're not waiting for the ball to come over the plate and then swipe at it.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what most golfers do. They look down at the ball. And they swipe at it.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's where you get early extension. You're actually going to extend too early and top it.
Yeah.
Or you're going to go, okay, I got to make sure I don't stand up. And then you're going to bury the club in the ground.
Yeah.
And that's no fun. I mean, it's just either one of those is just a really crappy feel and it's a crappy sound.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're moving in the direction of the target, so let's say you take one of our greatest drills, the carrot peeler. You imagine the sole of your club as a carrot peeler and the ground is the surface of the carrot.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take a divot peel
mm-hmm.
and you're going to send it in the direction of your target. You will be extending your legs at the right place. And then you'll send some beautiful, you know, bacon strips out there into the direction of the target. And then you look at yourself on video and you'll have the right timing in your legs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to have a target. It's important to have a good, solid task to deliver to that target.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I would encourage that individual to check out you know, many of our videos that deal with through the ball instead of at the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, cutting dandelion stems towards a specific direction.
Yeah.
So, how about you, Moo? We have a, we're tag teaming with a specific individual right now from Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I had a meeting with him yesterday. And I've been working with him on the fitness standpoint. And he's been loving it. He's 2 weeks into the Golf It Pro program that I designed for him.
And we can actually send Nick to his door, man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Have a surprise visit from Nick. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I wonder if they're in the same region of Australia.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, we discussed you know, the progression of the workouts and, you know, the the formalities of it and what the goals are, you know, for that specific program he's doing, and he was, you know, delighted to hear that, and he's happy to know that he's going ahead in the right direction, and, you know, there's clarity on what the purpose of each exercise is in relation to his golf swing.
Yeah.
Obviously, his goals were just to improve his handicap, but also as a supplementary is you know, getting his clubhead speed up. You know, yes. In the process, and we got to talking about golf in the conversation, and he spoke about he watches our videos on Premium Channel as well as just mostly Premium, and he noticed that his head is not he doesn't come up in the backswing
right
like you do and or how Bryson does, and he wants to kind of develop that without thinking about it too much.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the first deal with that is. And I could see that, you know, throughout his earlier instructions, he's trying to keep his head down.
Right.
So as you keep the head down, what happens is as you try to go back with your arms and you try to keep your head down, your head dips over your left shoulder.
Right. As a righty?
As a righty, yes. I apologize. So as a right-handed player, which he is, so the head tips forward. And then you get this, you know, reverse tilt in the spine.
Yeah.
And the hips slide out from underneath.
Yeah.
And then I could see that he was trying to get behind the ball in that process. So he was sliding way off the ball.
Right.
So instead, we're, you know, going to take the, you know, when we're turning in the backswing, we go, I went straight to the feet together drill.
Right.
So if you tip forward with the head with the feet together drill, you're just going to have to take a step. You're going to have to take a walk
because
you can't stay in place.
Yeah.
And as we were doing the feet together drill, we started getting the right turn in the hips in the backswing.
Good.
Getting the right turn in the hips in the backswing swivels the butt forward.
Right.
Yeah, right? Towards the target.
Right.
That is the first main ingredient as to keeping the head back.
Correct. Yeah.
Now, as the butt turns towards the target, in order for you to complete that turn, you got to give from the knees.
Right.
Which will raise you.
Yeah, that's it.
Right?
Yeah.
That brings you up in the backswing.
Yeah.
So the feet together drill is the first drill you go to when you want to allow that body to come up in the backswing.
Right.
And so to make a full turn, you'll notice there's just no way you can keep the knees bent the same way when you're doing a feet together drill.
Yeah.
And if you do, the knees are going to slide out from underneath you and they're going to be outside the feet.
Right.
And that's going to put a lot of strain on that joint.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you turn properly, the butt swivels toward the target and the legs extend and the knees stay on top of the feet.
Correct. Yeah.
The head stays in the right tilt. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to, you know, have a proper sequence in the downswing, simple. Just throw the club in the direction of the target.
Yeah.
So the brain's going to come back down with a nice squat, which, you know, you've got, those are the exercises that are going to really be important for him.
That's right.
And then, you know, the brain is then going to push off the ground to throw the club in the direction of the target.
Yeah.
And the club is magically going to peel that divot in that direction.
Right.
And you just can't micromanage that business, right?
Yeah, it's true. Like, you can't be acting.
You can't be micromanaging that stuff.
No, it'd be distracting. You'd be, you know, chasing your tail.
That is, of course, literally mission impossible.
Yeah,
chasing your tail, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I love where we're at Wisdom in Golf. I you know, there's no mystery in the swing for us anymore. It's just, hey, reinforce the things that we do, like today with Steven, mm-hmm. He was, you know, his old swing. This is one of my students on our double legal program.
Yeah.
In New York City. And at address, because his earlier instruction was to put the weight on the balls of his feet. Okay.
Yeah, it's not good.
We were, yeah, oh, right? Really? So Moo, I could see his eyes roll up and go, that's not very good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because what happens is, you know, we're trying to be athletic. So we put, you know, you got to stand in an athletic position. Well, if you're a football player getting ready to take a snap and rock backwards and start moving around, yeah, you're going to be on the balls of your feet.
That's right.
You don't want to be flat footed.
No.
But in the golf swing, you don't want to be moving your feet around and changing places.
Yeah.
Your distance between you and the ball's got to stay pretty consistent.
Right.
Unless you want to be Happy Gilmore, be my guest. Mm-hmm. Right. There's a different way of going about things.
Yeah.
So you don't want to stand at the right position with the ball, then back off and then come back in again. Mm-hmm. There's more efficient ways of doing that. So what was going on is he was actually using the golf club as a crutch. He was leaning into the club.
Oh, no.
So he's on his toes, mm-hmm. and then he had to hurry up and hit the ball before he fell over.
That's right.
Type of thing, right? Yeah. So then the next video we're talking about is the crane and the wrecking ball. Mm-hmm. So we're putting the weight through the center of the arches of the feet, mm-hmm. more under the ankles, in front of the ball of the heel, but behind the ball of the foot. So you feel like all of the spikes in your shoes are secure to the ground.
Right.
Your glutes and quads are engaged and applying pressure there like they're suction cups.
Yeah.
And when you're bending forward, mm-hmm. the crane needs a counterweight in the back to bring that boom forward.
Yeah.
That'd be your butt.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, if you want a big butt, you want to make sure you get your workouts with Moo. Moo will develop a good butt for you. So your arm club unit is now in a position where it can hang from the shoulders at just above the level of the ground. All of the, you know, some of the best ball strikers in history and players, Jack Nicklaus, never grounded his club. He always hovered his club off the ground. Greg Norman was the same way, one of the best drivers of the ball. So you're hovering the club in the air, so you feel the weight of the arm club unit. Now, if you can't use the weight of your arm, if you can't use the muscles in your arms, mm-hmm. and the arms are just weight, dead weight there, mm-hmm. but if you want to use the weight of the arms to compress the ball in the direction of the target, mm-hmm. you actually have to move the arms into the backswing with your legs.
Right.
That's where you get that dual kinetic chain.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to grab the ground, squat, and heave the arms into the backswing. Yeah. You got to stand up.
Right.
That's it. Right?
Yeah.
And then the arms have momentum to go into the backswing with. Mm-hmm. And then as the arms float up,
yeah.
The Chevy Chase and Caddyshack, the arms are levitating up. Then the brain's got all this time to squat and catch the arm swing with the squat to deliver the weight of the arms through the ball and into the direction that you want to start the ball.
Yeah.
So he goes from hurry up and hit the ball, no timing, all arms, all hit, choppy backswing, to beautiful range of motion.
Yeah.
Pause at the top of the swing.
Yeah.
You know, the choir is singing.
Yeah.
And he's delivering these gorgeous shots consistently into the driving range. Now, it took us a year to get there.
For sure, yeah.
But that simple reminder, hey, you remember this?
Yeah.
And then we went from, you know, during the warm-up, those choppy, fast swings, to immediately, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, it's just like the skies opened up.
Yeah.
And then he had a beautiful practice session. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to talk to him again on Monday about the practice sessions he's going to have this weekend.
Right. Yeah.
So, and then it's going to happen the same way for our friend
in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. He's new to the Wisdom and Golf system.
Yes.
I believe. Yeah. He started 2 weeks ago with you as well.
Yeah, exactly.
About the same time he started with the fitness. So It's going to be fun.
Oh, we're going to have him rocking so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I already see a lot of improvement in his swing. So yeah.
And he's bought in too, which is very fun. You know, like
he's got his home studio. Yeah, he's got his launch monitor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And man, he's just, I love keen golfers like that.
Yeah. He's a studio.
Just wants to eat it up.
Yeah. 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 It's fun.
So, yeah. Hey man, there's a cool, I enjoyed this show.
Yep, yeah. Me too.
I hope you guys listening really enjoyed the questions and the little tangents that we go on with those things. That's what I love. I love podcasts for that.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't do that when you're doing a YouTube video. Everybody wants it. Now, give it to me. Stop talking.
Yeah.
Whereas now you're in your car and there's nothing else to do but to listen to our voices and hope you guys are having a great commute. And wish you an amazing week. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone, all of our brothers and sisters in the U.S. and, you know, now Canada. You guys are rubbed off big time on us for Thanksgiving.
Black Friday.
But, hey, we're going to take the opportunity to thank our lucky stars, too, up here.
Yeah.
You can't do that enough, really.
Yeah.
And all the best to everyone. And can't wait to talk to you again next week. All
the best.
Take care, everyone.